Yes, sir, it'll be fine. How do you turn the PowerPoint? Okay, thank you. Thank you, sir. Well, good evening. Appreciate so much your presence tonight, and hope that we, as we study together, something might be said that would encourage you, to, if you're not a Christian, to become a Christian, to obey the gospel tonight. It's not that difficult. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you're willing to confess that before these people and to have a desire to repent, change your will and do the will of God, and then be baptized so your sins can be washed away, the Lord will add you to the church and you can begin this journey with the rest of us all the way to heaven. So if you're here and need to respond in some way like that, why, we'd sure be glad to help you tonight. Now we're going to look in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians tonight and talk about the conflict that sometimes we sense when we look at the pictures the Bible paints of what it is to be a Christian, what it's like. The Apostle Paul wrote this great letter to the Ephesian brethren and encouraged them to look at this salvation that we're a part of, that God planned it before the world began, all these blessings He would give the world in Christ Jesus. He planned it on it before the world began, determined He would choose certain people to be His people, that they would be holy and blameless before Him. And so all these things that God had planned, Jesus came then to the world, and He purchased the church with His own blood. And so He became the head of the church that we read about in the Bible. And people can become a part of that, and He'll add you to that church if you obey the gospel. So the apostle is showing us that God would use these people to be His people. And then he shows the Holy Spirit coming and putting His seal on the church, and everything we do today, we do because we can read in this book what the Bible says about the church, how it should do, what work it should do, and how it should be organized. And that's the seal we read when we look at that program that the Lord has given us about what we should do and be. And the apostle then prays a prayer, the latter part of the first chapter, that we could, if we could see that, have the understanding, we would do what God said. Sometimes people don't see it right and they get it mixed up. And so he's praying for us to see it in the right way. And then the second chapter he shows us how we all were dead in trespasses and sin. And so God did something about that. He saved us by grace through faith. He determined that He would do what we needed by sending His Son to die so we could have this salvation from our sin. And the apostle goes on to paint in the third chapter that this gospel has been revealed. It one time was not made known in the past, but now it's made known. And when we read these few words Paul says, there's only 330-some pages in the New Testament. Think about how simple it is to read the Bible and understand what to do. Well, God has made this known now, so it's not a mystery. We don't have to worry about it. We can read that and see what He wants and have confidence in that tonight. And so the fourth chapter starts the application. What should we be concerned about? How do we get along? How do we walk together and work together? We've got to endeavor to do that. We've got to endeavor to keep the union of the Spirit in the bond of peace and to know that there's one body. There's only one faith, one church, one baptism, one Lord, one God. All these ones that people need to say, well, we've just got to submit to what God says to walk together and be what we ought to be. And so when you look at that and you see those challenges that people have, and then you look at the fifth chapter, we're told to imitate God and to be His children. That's what He wants us to do. And relationships. What governs marriage, husband and wife relationship? Well, it's your attitude toward the Lord that's governed by. And what about parents and children? Well, it's their attitude toward the Lord. It governs how they get along, how they work together. Slaves and masters, how's that work? How you relate to the Lord. But when you come into this sixth chapter, you see the apostle begins to make an application in the sixth chapter in verse 10 when he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now notice, he used this word finally to say, all those things I've said thus far, because I said all that, I want you now to get this application of that. I want you to see that first of all, what we've got to do if we're going to be God's people is we have got to be people who are spiritually strong. You see this picture, and I think most of you have sensed, when you look at soldiers, and you know what soldiers do, what they're like. Here's the picture of the Bible showing we're supposed to be soldiers, and we're supposed to be armed like a soldier, but we sometimes feel like that we're overwhelmed by that, and we get what we might call battle fatigue. We get discouraged, and we get frustrated. But when you see this spiritual battle, and how the Lord wants us to stand firm in the faith and be committed to Him and do what He says, put this helmet of salvation on, this hope of heaven, and go through this life seeing just the same way that a soldier is in a conflict. And so when He says, finally now, He says, first of all, we need to see if we're going to be the kind of people we should be, we have first of all got to be strong. If you put armor on a weak soldier, he's not going to do very well. I was in the military. Probably many men here were in the military. Maybe some of you ladies also. But one of the first things they do is they put you in basic training and you go through what they call PT. PT. You have this physical training every day. And you run and do push-ups and all sorts of other things because they want to make you strong, first of all. They don't arm you and give you a helmet and those things until you have become strong enough to put the armor on and to be the kind of person you ought to be. And so here we see in the Bible, that's what the Lord expects of us. He wants us to be strong, number one. And notice, in the power of His might, we just sang a song, I won't take a step without Jesus. You remember what Jesus said in John 15 and verse 5? You can do nothing without me. We can't do anything without the Lord. And when we come to appreciate the fact that it's not in our power, not in our might, I can't do things, I can't think, well, I'll get this done because I want to do it and I'll use my power and energy. I can't trust my flesh. I've got to realize the Lord will strengthen me. The Lord will help me. It will be with His power, with His might, that I can do what I'm supposed to do. And so the apostle is writing, urging these people to see, that's the first thing we've got to get into our mind if we're going to be disciples. Finally then, let's be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But notice in verse 11 he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now he emphasizes all this armor being put on. Now here's a soldier who's putting this armor on so he can stand in this conflict. The apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and said in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4, that if you understand that being a soldier, if we're soldiers of Christ, that we should not get entangled in the affairs of this life and get wrapped up in this life. When I went into the military, I was told I was going to have a week off at the end of my basic training. And so I went through the training for 2 months, and my wife and I had planned for us to get married on the Saturday after my basic training was over. I went into the first sergeant's office to see about getting my pass to go to Louisville to get married. And so he said, you're not going. You're going to fly on a plane to Oklahoma tonight. You're going to school out there, and you got to go tonight. I said, I can't go. I'm getting married tomorrow. He said, no, you're not getting married. Who told you to get married? He said, you're a soldier. We didn't tell you to get married. You got to ask us who. And so you need to think about when you want to get married to somebody, you better talk to the Lord first of all, you see. We're a soldier in the Lord's army. And we know there's struggles and conflicts and difficulties. And if we could see it that way and not get discouraged when we have problems and trouble and get discouraged about things. We've got an enemy. There's a war going on. What do people do in wartime? Have you ever seen soldiers in war zones? What they do, how they behave? We need to see that Satan is our enemy. He's trying to destroy us. And we need to not get involved out here and get tangled up in this world so that when we need to do something that may take some sacrifice. I was telling you about, I was out taking some special training and they took us out where there was a limited amount of food, limited amount of sleep, limited amount of water. And I walked up on this kind of like a ladder to go across to get my chow that day. And I got my food on my tray and I was walking down on the other side. And I tripped and fell and dropped my food right there in the mud where I'd been walking. And so I looked up at the mess sergeant. He said, son, are you hungry? I said, yes, sir. He said, get down and eat it because there's no seconds. That's it. I just got down there in the mud and eat it right up. Well, I was a soldier, you see. That's what we need to see about Christianity. We're so self-centered and so self-conscious about ourselves, we fail to see we're in the military of the Lord, you see. There can be no conscientious objector in this spiritual conflict. Satan's our enemy. And he's trying to destroy us. And so if we can put this armor on and arm ourselves and use the weapons the Lord gave us and see the objective is to be able to stand, not just to survive, but to be able to stand. And so notice when the apostle talks about these things, tells us the first thing we need to see is we've got to be strong. So let's let the Lord help us. Let's put our confidence in Him. Let's put our confidence. Let's don't put any confidence in the flesh and what we can do. Let's say, Lord, You help me do what I need to do. And then let Him do that. And when we determine that we want to become strong and accomplish that, then we'll see that we need to stand firm. Get up, brush yourself off, stand up, and get ready for the battle. There's a conflict going on here. We're in a war zone. And so when the writer tells us about this, he says to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Here's our enemy. He's called Apollyon, destroyer, destruction. Satan's our enemy. He's trying to defeat us. And when we get into our head, well, this is not, I'm just not happy and things aren't going my way, we don't understand how it is. We don't understand what Christianity is all about. We've got to get up and stand on our feet. And he says to us in verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Notice how many times he says, these things are against us. Here are these forces. Here are these powers, political arenas of generals and whatever else you want to talk about. In the unseen world that we can't see, in this realm of darkness, we're fighting a battle and we can't see our enemy. And so here's the picture of these forces that we can't see trying to defeat us, trying to destroy us. And when the apostle helps us understand what we're looking at by seeing these things and the armor that he tells us to put on, when you think about the fact of the matter that these forces are working to destroy us, to defeat us, and when Satan's trying to do that and his enemies are working together with him in the realm of darkness, and it's called the high places or the heavenly places, here's a spiritual battle going on in an unseen world that we can't see our enemy. Have you ever thought about how that works? And the discouragement of trying to fight a battle when you can't see. I took some sniper training, and it always amazed me to notice and learn how to get somewhere and to take a shot at somebody, and they never know where it came from. Satan's doing that to us. We can't see him. His forces are working to destroy us, and we think, what about me? And when I'm hurt, my feelings are hurt or something. No, that's not what this is about. Here's a picture of people who understand the gospel is the power that saves our soul. And if we want to live the way God wants us to live, this Bible that we're looking at that can strengthen us is a living and active, powerful. The Bible's like a two-edged sword. It cuts going both ways, you see. And we might notice when we see that it's the sword of the Spirit that's our weapon of defense, we need to see this is not a club that we use to beat people on the head with. We're trying to pierce the hearts of people with the Bible. So it's a picture, don't you see, of people who've purified their souls in obeying the truth. Their faith comes by hearing the gospel, Romans 10, verse 17. And when people make up their mind that they're going to be born again by this word, the word of God, become a new person, not just to start over, but have a brand new beginning. Become a brand new person. Everything about you becomes new because of the power that is in this word, the word of God. And when we see that and think about it and we speak the truth, and notice, we speak the truth in love. We go out and try to tell other people what God wants us to do, wants us to be. So it's a picture of how we should understand what power there is in this book that strengthens us and makes us strong so that we can stand up and be the kind of people we ought to be and to love God. And when you look at 2 Timothy 2, verses 14 through 24 through 26, here's a picture of the Apostle Paul saying that Satan is trying to, we're trying to bring people out of the captivity of Satan and to bring them away. He's trying to pull their mind and control their mind and get them to go back into the dark, and we're trying to pull them out of that. We're trying to retrieve people from that by the Word of God. And so Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verse 11 tells us, this Word is not going to return to God void. It's going to accomplish exactly what God intended. And so we just need to put our confidence that this will strengthen us, help us to be strong, and help us to put this armor on so we can wrestle good people, not against flesh and blood. Have you thought about what most of us do? We spend the majority of our time fighting with flesh and blood. We get aggravated at somebody, or they get aggravated at us, or we hurt somebody, or they hurt us, and so we spend our time, and our mind works all the time on fighting with somebody else, and that is not where the conflict is. It's a spiritual conflict with Satan. He's the one. He's the one trying to get in the minds of people, trying to use them in some way to destroy or discourage us. And so here's our foe. Here's the picture of what he's trying to accomplish. And the Apostle Paul says, finally, brethren, can you get a picture of what I'm trying to tell you Christianity is all about and what it's like? So you can be the kind of people that God wants you to be strong, become committed. And you think about, look at this statement in 2 Corinthians. There are a couple of statements where we find the Apostle talking about this conflict we're in. In 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, listen to what's said, if you will, in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We're not fighting a physical battle here. I think some of us think we are. We end up fighting each other most of the time. But he says in verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Here's a picture of this conflict we're in. We're trying to pull minds down, imaginations, and things that we think about, and bringing our will, every thought, into the obedience of Christ. We're not fighting to conquer mountains. We're not fighting the flesh, not fighting people. We're fighting a spiritual conflict. And so the apostle helps us see in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians what Satan is doing. When we think about him, you know, somebody has said hell is really laughing. When we get into our mind that Satan is some kind of a little red creature with a couple of horns and a forked tail and a pitchfork in his hand, that's not the Satan we read about in the Bible. Listen to what's said about Satan in verse 11 or 13 of 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." You see, Satan is he's trying to be an apostle of the Lord, and he's trying to be an angel of light. He's going around deceiving the minds of people. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 says, he's trying to blind the minds of those from seeing the gospel, the light of the gospel. So here we are sitting here tonight. We often get ideas in our mind about things, and we fail to see that Satan is our enemy. He's our foe. He's trying to defeat us, and the apostle's trying to get us to see. Then when we look at what the Bible shows about Satan and what he is, we sense sometimes the fatigue because we get tired, we get weary, we get discouraged, we get our feelings hurt, and we lose sight of what is really going on. And so the apostle shows us here when he emphasizes all this armor, don't get caught up in something fleshly, something carnal. Give up on those conflicts, would you? Quit fighting each other. And determine that Satan is the enemy and put on the whole armor of God. Somebody has said the Apostle Paul, being in chains, looking at a soldier, could very well have been thinking about this when he wrote these verses. But if you go back to Isaiah, the 59th chapter and verse 17, you find God was sending his servant to come and to wear this very armor to save the souls of people. This is the armor that the Son of God would come in the world and wear. To become a conqueror for us and to win the victory for us. And it's the picture of what you see with some of what these soldiers would have had, of course, in those days and the way they would have dressed. And so think about for a moment or two. Being soldiers of Christ, what do we need? The apostle tells us, first of all, one thing we've got to do is put on the breastplate of righteousness. And when you think about what does that mean, what is God trying to tell us there? I think that one of our great problems is we fail to see that the way we're right with God is because that God has done something for us that we could not do for ourselves. We can't earn that. I've mentioned everywhere I go that quite often when somebody is an older person, they're getting close to dying and in the hospital, and I went and see them, they're laying there, they're barely breathing, and I'll say, "How are you doing?" They say, I'm just about finished. I said, "Well, you feel all right?" "Well, no, I don't. I just don't think I can go to heaven. I don't think I'm worthy." I say, "God bless you. You figured it out, didn't you? Thank you very much. You figured it out. You're not worthy. Nobody is worthy to go to heaven. Nobody deserves that. We can't earn. We can't deserve that. So if we get out of our head that there's something I've got to do to earn, to deserve it, we'll be a lot better off. The righteousness that we put on is that God makes us right, you see. And that's a breastplate. We put that on, and it covers our heart, our emotions, and we know that if I'm going to go to heaven, it's because of what God has done for me and not because of what I've done to earn something that will make me worthy. And so we need to put this breastplate on. and never take it off. Somebody said it kind of like a fella who's drowning, and you throw him a life jacket, and rather than putting the life jacket on, he just holds it up and keeps trying to swim, and he goes down and keeps coming back up. If you put the life jacket on, when you go down, it will bring you back up. That's what God has done for us. He's done something to help us that we could not do for ourselves. And then notice the belt here that is described. This belt that we wear is this belt of truth. Here's this, what we gird ourselves about. Have you ever seen soldiers before? I remember well wearing these belts when I was in the military. You have you ever thought about it? A soldier never uses his belt as a weapon of defense. He uses it only to hold everything else in place. He's got his canteen on there. He's got a packet of food in the back and some ammo in the side. He's got a scabbard on the side that he can put on the end of his weapon to use to stab somebody if he has to. Everything is held in place. And if he doesn't have that belt on, he cannot do anything without that belt being on there. Here's a picture of us taking the truth. The truth is what keeps everything in place. We cannot do what is right. We cannot defend ourselves. We cannot live the right life until we put the belt on and wear it the way the Lord says, take the truth and never be troubled by doctrine. Never be bothered. People say, you know, doctrine divides. Let me tell you, doctrine is the only thing that can unite us. Doctrine does not divide. It's our attitude toward the doctrine and how we work with each other that divides us. If we let the doctrine be the thing we're trying to figure out and stand together with, we'll be a lot better off. So let's let the truth, you see, be what girds us about and holds us together. And then having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, you think about soldiers, and there have been some men who have written, Josephus and others have written about soldiering and men in the past and other historical writers about Caesars and the Alexanders, Alexander's the Great, other men who were great soldiers. And the reason they were is because their military force had sandals on. They could march great distances and go further and do much more because their feet were shod with the preparation. And our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Think about that. Get your feet ready to stand and to march and to go. Take this gospel. Go somewhere in the next few days. Just go have the courage to ask somebody to come to the meeting. Just go ask somebody, why don't you come to the meeting one night with me? Just get the courage to do that. Go out here in the world and have your feet ready, prepared, you see, to go ask or to teach or talk to somebody about this great gospel message. And so here's the picture the apostle paints for us of the armor that we're to put on, the kind of people that we should be, so we can be the folks that we should be and do what we should do. And not only do we need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, but think about this sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Here's our only defensive weapon. And again, it's not a club that we use to bang people over the head with and try to some way defeat them. I've got tickled so many times that brethren would say something, say, oh, I'm so glad I got that. Now I know how to use that now. Now I can really wear my neighbor out. I can fix him good with that, you know. We just think that we have got to use the Bible in some way to beat people to death. Let's take the Bible and pierce the heart of somebody. Let's let the Bible do its job. Let's don't feel like we have to be a bulldozer driver and run over people. Let's use the Bible in such a way so that people can see what God wants us and them to be together and try to be the people that we should be. And then notice the shield of faith. This shield was a big, like a door almost. It was the size of a man. He could hide his body behind it when arrows were shot at him. He could hold that up and defend himself. I've said when I was in the military, I can remember crawling under live ammo and they were having explosions in these bunkers going off, and they would tell you a couple of things. Number one, they said, don't stand up. If you stand up, those bullets are going through these at nighttime. And they had these tracers. Every fifth round was a tracer, so they would see where the ammunition was going, but you could see it coming at you. And they said, if you stand up, you will die. But if you stand up and a tracer hits you, it'll burn a hole through you. It said it will really get you. Now let me tell you, Satan is firing his fiery darts at us. And what do we have to reflect those fiery darts? All we've got is the shield of faith. Our faith has got to be strong enough when Satan is trying to wound us, trying to defeat us, trying to kill us in some way. We've got to hold the door of faith up and defend ourselves from what he's trying to do. And if we could look at Christianity in this way and see what we're doing, it's a spiritual conflict. We can't see the enemy, but he's trying to defeat us. And so let's hold up the shield of faith so that we might be able to quench the fiery darts of the devil. And then notice, he goes on to tell us, after saying that, he makes a great statement in verse 18 when he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Notice the apostle urges us here to pray, but he tells us to be alert in the process of that. I read years ago about two men who were going somewhere to preach the gospel, and they were having to ride a bus to go somewhere to preach, and it was getting time for them to be there, and the bus hadn't shown up, so they said, well, what are we going to do? And the one said, well, let's go into the bus station, we'll get down on our knees, and we'll pray for the bus to come. So they go in there, and get on their knees, and they pray, and they come outside, and everybody's gone. And so they said to the conductor at the bus station, well, where did everybody go? And they said, they got on the bus. They said, the bus came? They said, yeah. And he said, you all missed it. And he said, what were y'all doing? They said, well, we went inside to pray and for the bus to come, and we missed it. He said, you all should have read your Bible. And he said, what do you mean? He said, the Bible says, watch and pray, watch and pray. You should have stayed out here watching while you were praying. Sometimes we need to see that we've got to be more alert about things. Keep our eyes open. As soldiers, we've got to be alert to what's going on. And think about this idea of praying. I told this story, maybe I've told it here before, when I was in Special Forces. We were jumping out of helicopters quite a bit, and I had a radio on my back, and the helicopter would swoop down the ground pretty close, and a green light would come on. It means you're supposed to jump out while that green light's on. Well, I jumped out the helicopter door, and the radio hung on the top of the door. And so my body was out, but my back was still in the helicopter. And so that red light came on. I knew it was time to get out. So I started doing the peppermint twist to get loose. And so I started twisting. Well, I came loose and started falling to the ground. And it was in Germany. The ground was frozen. There was a big pool of water with ice on it. And I hit right in the middle of that ice, and it broke and went down through the water. And that water hit my legs. And I thought, oh, I broke my back. I felt like I just went numb, you know. And so this second lieutenant comes up and says, Sandusky, what in the world are you doing? I said, sir, I couldn't talk. I had not lost my breath. And I caught my breath, and I said, I hung on the helicopter. He said, son, if you tear that radio up, we can't stay in touch with the commander, and we don't know what's going on. If we lose contact with the commander, we can't win the battle. Can you see what we sometimes overlook as soldiers? We fail to see the power and the enduring power of praying and persevering in prayer. Sometimes when there's trouble and problems, I've mentioned many times where I go, been in meetings with men and people be fussing, and I said, let's all just stop and pray. Let's just talk to God about this. It's a picture that the Bible paints of people who are trying to be the kind of people God wants them to be. And so when you think about that, see this soldier who is armed and ready, strong. He's physically conditioned. His spirit is strong. His confidence in God, his salvation because of what God has done. He's ready to stand on the battlefield, and he's going to stand. He's not just going to survive. He's going to stand on the battlefield and endure and keep standing. Don't ever lay down or sit down or give up. Don't take your helmet off. Don't lay your sword aside. Stand on the battlefield. Get up. Brush yourself off. And see, this is what we're called to do. The book of Ephesians is helping us get a picture of Christianity. And the apostle says, finally, when you see what God has done, how much God has invested in you to help you overcome this world and conquer Satan's defeat, trying to defeat you, we need to be the kind of people who see that finally we need to just get at the business of being soldiers and doing what we should do, being committed, being determined. I think that one of our major problems is that we can't seem to get in our mind that there is a spiritual enemy out here. And I've said to people sometimes that I think we have the same trouble with God. We just can't envision in our mind that the God is here and He's present. And there's a conflict going on, and we're in the middle of it. And we can't sense the fact that we can't see an invisible God or imagine that He's there. And I said, if God would take us for just 5 minutes, like did the Apostle Paul, take him up and let him go into the third heaven and see things that he couldn't come back and utter to people, and let us see what that was like, and then bring us back and set us here on the earth after seeing where God is and what it's like, we would be a different people, because we would see the reality of who it is we're serving and what's going on in the scenes we can't see. But the same thing is true about Satan. If God were to take us for just 5 minutes and let us go down into the unseen world and see people crying out and saying, don't let my brothers come here, don't let anybody come here. And please, somebody, just drip a little water on the tip of my tongue. The pain is so great I can't bear it. And just let me sense and see and feel that for 5 minutes, and then bring me back to this world. I would know I don't want to go where Satan is. I don't want Satan to defeat me. I'm not going to let him get the best of me. And I'm not going to wallow in self-pity when things get all out of shape. I'm going to be a soldier of Christ. I'm going to stand on the battlefield. I'm going to be armed and ready. I'm going to become an expert to studying my Bible. I'm going to know what it's about, so I can live by it and teach other people so they can live by it and they can draw encouragement from it. And so here's the picture that the Bible paints for us of this finality of what we should be doing as soldiers of Christ. And to see that we're on the front line. Jesus said when He would build His church that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. You realize the gates of hell and all these forces, these angelic beings and Satan's forces, they're working against us, and we are on the front line. We're not off somewhere sleeping in the tulips on the side of the field. We're on the battlefield. Satan's trying to get us. And we've got to awaken, good people, to the foe, to the destroyer, to destruction, to Apollyon. Satan himself is real, and he's trying to defeat us. So where does he come from? Well, we don't know, but we do know that he's one of these created beings, because Jesus has created all principality and power. We know that Jesus has gone in 1 Corinthians 15:29. He's going to one day hand the kingdom back to the Father, and he's going to defeat and destroy all the principalities and powers. So we know that they have a purpose. Jesus created them. And we know that they're going to be defeated, because their end is going to come. They're not going to be needed anymore for the purpose God has intended for them. And so here's the picture of these forces that are trying us today and testing us today. And how are we going to stand? How are we going to do when we see this Satan who he one time abode, he didn't always abide in the truth. John 8 verse 44, I believe, says. And so that meant one time he was in the truth, but now he's not in the truth. And in Jude, the 6th verse, we see there a picture of these angelic beings who are reserved in chains of darkness because they left their first estate. So Satan has rebelled against God. And he wants to defeat and destroy us. And if we allow that to happen, we allow ourselves to become discouraged and get caught up in the things of the world around us and fail to stand up on the battlefield and be courageous. Have you ever seen soldiers in conflict? Seen soldiers who are in real trouble? And when some of them begin to run or cower, what it does to the others? We need to be courageous. We need to become committed. We need to be the kind of people who will be the people that God wants us to be. And when you look at this picture that the Bible paints of who we are, what we're doing, don't be wallowing and whining and complaining about your trouble and get caught up in self-pity. Don't let that happen to you. Give up on those sort of things. And determine you are going to be the kind of person that God has called you to be. And so, my friend, tonight, if you can see this message and you believe what it says, you're determined to obey the gospel, you need to see that it's not going to be an easy task, and you're going to get weary. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to feel many times defeated. The reason I preached this sermon, put it together, I tell folks, I left this country. I was down in Texas at the end of January, getting ready to fly to Ethiopia. And I was down there with my friend getting ready to leave. Well, I got a phone call. One of the sisters in Madison had died suddenly. So I had to get on a plane and fly up to Madison and preach a funeral and then fly back down there without any sleep. and then got down back to Texas, got on an airplane, then flew over to Rome, went to Rome and preached over there on Sunday night, and a congregation in Rome, then got on a plane, flew to Ethiopia, and spent a month over there, and I left the country weighing 184 pounds. I weigh 166 pounds now. I'm dizzy and I'm out of shape because I was sick. I stayed in places where there was no electricity, no water, and you can imagine being in a place where you're sick and you can't even flush the toilet and all kind of other problems. But you see, that's a part of what this is about. And then to come home and get home on Friday night about 10 o'clock and go to bed and get a phone call, and my stepmom, who has meant the world to me, my mama ran off and left when I was a child, and this woman came along and became a mother to me, and I got a call that she'd passed away. But you see, that's the way this is. You can't predict what's going to happen. You can't let it get the best of you. You just got to keep on the battlefield, keep standing on the battlefield, keep charging against whatever comes. And whatever Satan brings at you, you just hold your door up there and block whatever comes. Now, if we can get that into our head, what would happen to this church if every person felt that away? Rather than getting all wound up in self-pity and fighting the flesh, fighting somebody, causing trouble because somebody has mishandled us or done something wrong to us, what would happen to this church if everybody saw themselves as a soldier who shouldn't be entangled in the affairs of life and just let all of that go? What would happen? I think people would be flocking to come into a place like that. They want to find people who are not concerned about themselves, but concerned about others. And they don't worry about whether somebody mishandles them or hurts their feelings. So if we can get this picture in our mind about what Christianity is supposed to be like and understand that this is what I expect it to be, yes, I have battle fatigue. And yes, sometimes we kill each other with friendly fire. We've all done that. I've shot some of my own brethren and killed them myself. And some of them, I said, I'm glad the Lord didn't let me. I've got to ride. Sometimes I want to choke some of them myself, you know. But I know that's not the way this works. And so if we can just get the right picture in our mind, let that be embedded on our heart, and change the way we deal with everything. I'm a soldier of the Lord. I've enlisted in His army. He owns me. He's my master, you see. And I don't care what I've got to crawl through, what I've got to eat out of, or where I've got to go, what I've got to do, I'm His soldier. And I'm going to stand on the battlefield until it's over for me. And we all need to make up our mind that's what we're going to do together. So if we'll be those kind of people, just think of what would happen in places like this right here. The change that would take place among our brethren if we could just sense and see that. If you're here this evening, need to obey the gospel, why don't you come and respond tonight while we sing the song and encourage you. If you need to respond, please come.